Welcome. Yes, 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 yes. All right. So glad y'all are here today. If you would, go ahead and take a seat. We have a great morning planned for you. Thank y'all for being here. I'm going to go ahead and open us in prayer, and then I have a couple of words to share with you before our speakers come. So let me open us in prayer. Father, we just thank you, lady, for these ladies here today. We thank you that we can be here, Father. We thank you for the childcare workers and the people that have found others to watch their children, Lord. We thank you for each and every mom here today. Father, we just thank you for the gift of motherhood that you've given us, that you've entrusted us with these little lives. And I pray that we would just yield ourselves to you and surrender, that we would dive heavy into your word and to prayer, and that we would transform our minds through the renewing but through your word, Lord. And Father, I just pray that my words would be nothing that I have to offer but from you alone. And we just pray for a great morning, and we pray for Melissa and Jeannie, that they too would just share the truths that you have for these ladies. And we thank you for the season. We thank you that it's a season of your birth coming up and Thanksgiving immediately. And Lord, just that we would not be overwhelmed by it, that we would just focus our hearts on you. So thank you for this time. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, it's good to be here today. And I had really prayed about what I wanted to share. Just a quick mentor mom moment is what they call it. I'm Elizabeth Tamlin. I'm one of the mentor moms. And I'm a big scripture memory gal. So first I thought that was going to be the word, and I would love to share that with you some other time. But the Lord really laid it on my heart to talk about the sort of bad, sometimes it has a negative connotation, but the mother-in-law role. And I am one, and also grandmother role. So I'm going to start out with a scripture that we all can learn from. Therefore, this is from Colossians, as God's chosen people, holy and dearly loved, clothe yourselves with compassion, kindness, humility, gentleness, and patience. Bear with each other and forgive whatever grievances you have against one another. Forgive as the Lord forgave you. And over all these virtues, put on love, which binds them all together in perfect unity. Let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts, since as members of one body, you were called to peace. And be thankful. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly as you teach and admonish one another with all wisdom, and as you sing hymns, psalms, and spiritual songs with gratitude and in your hearts to God. And whatever you do, whether in word or deed, do it all in the name of the Lord, giving thanks to God the Father. And so I just thought, man, that is a great word as we enter into the holiday season, for us to be humble and to be compassionate and to be kind and be patient and be loving with others. So again, today I just want to talk about the role of in-law and grandmother, because sometimes it's kind of a negative, like, it's like a bad word. And I was young and had children, and sometimes I thought my mother-in-law was driving me crazy too. So I get that sometimes. But now as a mother-in-law, I have a little bit of a different twist on it. So I just wanted to share a couple words with that. So I love my daughter-in-laws. I have two, and they are amazing human beings, and I adore them. So this is not about them or my relationship with them, because I have great respect and love, admiration for them, and I think they do for me as well. So I hit the jackpot in that area. But even the term mother-in-law sometimes just has a negative connotation to it, and even grandmother too, like your expectations or whatever. But I just wanted to kind of throw out a couple of things. The first to consider is that you probably have more in common than you do differences with your mother-in-law. And you may be thinking, oh, you don't know her. But it's true. You both love the same man, right? She raised him, and she must have done something right for you to be attracted to him and marry him. So you probably have more in common than differences. You are also on the same team because you love the same man and you love the same children. And sometimes it may not feel like that, and I know sometimes there's a lot of angst in that area, but I just want you to maybe push the reset button today and see what happens. You just have no idea how much a mother loves her daughter-in-law and her grandchildren. And I know sometimes they get kind of a bad rap, but, and you're like, I've got this very difficult season, and that's true. But sometimes being an empty nester or having your children, you've invested in them, you've loved them, you've served them, you've, you know, grown them up to be wonderful people. And sometimes it's hard when you're trying to figure out your next season of life too, when they're gone. And so just to have a little bit of that empathy of thinking like, you know, I know my life is hard in this season. Yours looks really easy because you don't have kids at home. But sometimes that's hard too, because especially if you've wrongly put your identity in raising kids, which we would tell you not to do, our identities in Christ, but sometimes that's hard. And so I would just want to say that, you know, one other thing to consider is that you'll probably be a mother-in-law one day. And so just to, you know, be graceful and be loving and kind. And the scripture talks, that one we talked about, it says, clothe yourselves with compassion, kindness, humility, gentleness, and patience. When you think about clothing, like, you don't just wake up and have your daytime clothes on, right? Well, if you sleep in sweats and you wear them the next day, you do. But you have to clothe yourself. It's an intentional act. And so God is asking us to clothe ourselves, to be intentional, to be those things, to be compassionate and kind and humble and gentle and patient. And so anyway, I just would encourage you to, if you have a rough relationship with your mother-in-law, maybe if it's over gifts or it's over time spent or something like that, or some sort of a wrestling or a thing where there's no boundaries or something like that, I would just encourage you to push reset and pray. Pray for her, pray for you, pray that both of you would be humble, because hopefully neither one of you is going away. And so you want this to be a relationship that is a blessing. And so I just would encourage you. You know, we all have traditions at Christmas, and I would encourage you, these ladies will talk to you today about starting traditions, but also don't be so rigid in your traditions that when they grow up, then you're super sad because you're not doing those traditions again. So be flexible and be, you know, just include others, and don't, it doesn't have to look exactly the same every year, because that could be harder when they leave. And so, anyway, I just wanted to just encourage you to show lots of grace, to love others, to give her. I don't know your mother-in-laws, but if it is a difficult relationship, just to give it another chance, because you both love the same man and the same children. So, okay. So on your table, you have a spiritual inventory in front of you, and we're going to take about the next 5 minutes. We're going to play a little background music. We're going to take the next 5 minutes for you to fill that out before our real speakers come up here.
All right, ladies. Hopefully you got a little bit of time to fill that out, and it opens your eyes to all of the fun things you have to look forward to. I'm so excited today that we've got two lovely ladies who are clearly ready for Christmas, and they, very excited. They have so much wisdom to share with you guys. Just a heads up, a lot of the stuff they're going to talk about, we have in handouts, but you'll get them at the end. So you guys just sit and soak up all the wisdom that they're going to share. This is Melissa McKee and Jeannie Cox, and they'll give some more detailed intros. Here we go.
So my name is Melissa. My husband is Josh. He's that giant blonde, tall drink of water up there. I have three boys and a little surprise blessing, oopsie whoopsie, but we love her. Her name's Estelle.
And I'm Jeannie Cox. I'm married to John, who is by far my better half. We have a 21-year-old who is a resident here at Watermark working with Kaleidoscope and Recess, and then two more daughters, a sophomore and a freshman at UT Austin. And then we have a junior boy in high school and a freshman girl. So we're middle school, two at middle school, two in high school, and two at Watermark.
You guys can go to the next slide. So we are so glad y'all are here. We hope that you guys can just sit back, sip some coffee. Like Martha said, we've got two packets. So anything that we talk about is going to be explained in detail in the packets. So please don't feel like you need to, like, take notes. That was me when I was down there. I was like breastfeeding and writing, and so we got y'all. Okay, well, first of all, sweet Jeannie, when they asked me to talk on traditions, I was like, that's really silly, because everything that I do with my family is because of Jeannie. And she has been mentoring me for the better half of a decade. And when I was talking to my husband last night about it, I just got so choked up, because it's really sweet that we're on a stage together. And she has poured into me, and she approached me in the midst of my craziness of being pregnant and on staff at Watermark. And so my holiday blend, when she kind of came to me and introduced everything that we're about to talk about, I am an 8, type A, okay, any Enneagram scholars out there, and I was just trying to do everything. And so for the month, pretty much, well, even October with, you know, Halloween, because I love all the holidays, it was just madness. It was crazy, from Halloween to Thanksgiving to Christmas, and this was when I had, like, one in the belly, and I was totally overwhelmed, and my sweet friend was just like, hey, there's a better way to do this. And so our hope is that you walk away feeling freed from your to-do list, and really that we use the phrase trim the fat, that you can trim the fat for the next 2 months and create a home that is filled with joy and peace and around Jesus instead of all of the Dallas lights and Santa, and we will talk about Santa. So that's really our hope. And so Jeannie can talk about her blend, but mine was crazy until this woman came into my life.
So sweet. And Mel often says, we stand on the shoulders of the giants who have gone before us. And your mentor moms, Holly and Millie, Elizabeth, who you've heard from, I mean, lean in. Because when I was at your stage of the game, I was newly married. I'd grown up in a Christian home with the mom who was an only child. And she had so overdone Christmas that I really was very burned and scarred. I came to know Jesus in a really, really deeper, richer way in college. And as my faith grew, I came to see how we had commercialized what we consider his birthday so much to the point that we lose him. And so it's like, we're going to talk about this later as we talk about some passages. I knew what I didn't want to do, but I didn't know what I did want to do. And so when I was working at PCPC early on, I was pregnant with my first, it was December, she was due in May, I sat in and helped facilitate a conference called Redeeming Christmas by Ruth Meek. So everything that you hear today from me is something that Ruth Meek taught me, and then the Lord has built on since then. And there are a couple of websites that Martha has put in your packet where her Redeeming Christmas, our Unplug the Christmas Machine seminar, you can read through that. The inventory that you took is from that. And I really encourage you to inventory and to step back. One of the things that I learned, I wept through that seminar because finally somebody was teaching me and training me how to make it about Jesus. And I desperately needed to know how to make him the center without divorcing all the fun and the good. And I'll tell you a funny story. As I'm coming to grips with all this in my 20s, before I married, my sister and I were home decorating our Christmas tree as college-age adult children. And we got in a knockdown, drag-out about, did the Christmas tree ornaments need to center on Jesus or Santa Claus? And I'm talking a slap fight. And when you see two 19, 20-year-olds getting into it over a Christmas tree, there was just a lot of reconciling that needed to happen. And so one of the things we're going to talk about is, how do you reconcile all those hopes and dreams and expectations about what Christmas is as you marry? Because that's a big merge right there. And so one of the things that Ruth Meek had talked to me, you see SOS up there, is spread out the season. And she's like, we try to cram, as you saw in that inventory, so many more things than we actually have time for into December on top of everything else that you're already doing. And so one of the biggest blessings, the biggest restful things that I heard that day is, why do Christmas cards have to be Christmas cards? You could do Christmas cards at Thanksgiving, New Year's, Valentine's, Easter. There's just a way to tease it out, trim the fat, as Mel would say, that we're going to talk about today to help you really meld together a Christmas tradition, 1 year at a time, that's your own.
Yeah. I need a button so I can cue.
Yeah.
Okay, so this is... Technology. Okay, so I'll read Proverbs 29:18. It says, where there is no revelation, people cast off restraint, but blessed is the one who heeds wisdom's instructions. And so, like I said, I'm type A, which is really fun that we're on the stage together because we are so different. And she is very creative and sporadic, would you say?
Spontaneous.
Spontaneous, that's a good word.
Yeah.
I am structured. So even us planning this, like I have like color-coded notes. And she's like, yeah, like we're good. Just let's do this. I'm like, okay. Okay. Yeah. Will she read them? She won't. Okay. We've done this before. She won't read them. But I do think that what this verse is saying is, where there is no vision, there's possible of failure. And so when you go into this season, I do think there needs to be thoughtful preparation. And so one of the things that you can use that sheet for is like, cross off, trim the fat, cut it down to what brings me life, and then bring it to your husband and say, does this bring you life? And my husband would say, Christmas cards? No. Like, oh my gosh, they are so annoying. Everybody's crying. We spend so much money. And I'm like, But the people that we see in our neighborhood every day, like, don't they need a card of our little family that they literally see every day? And he's like, no. So we compromise. We do Christmas cards every other year. And then I can have preparation financially and within my own spirit of not being mad at my husband.
It's really, really good. The other verse up there is Ecclesiastes 4:4, and it says basically all achievement and every striving of man, in one version says, comes from the envy and the comparison. You know, and Kay is in here. She's done an enormous amount of great work on how comparison is the thief of joy. And so we're comparing ourselves to our past versions of how Christmas should or shouldn't be, given our family of origin. We're comparing ourselves to everything we see in social media, everything we read in every, for me, it was Martha Stewart, our Living magazine, Southern Living. That's kind of what set my goals. We didn't have Pinterest as much when I was younger in my mothering. And you're just comparing and you're trying to find the right mix and the right blend. And what we would say, the phrase that pays, if you fail to plan, you plan to fail. And you can be an ostrich, like Mel is talking about. You can stick your head in the sand and go, I'm just going to gut through it and I'm just going to react. We want you to be proactive. And part of that is backing up into November, hopefully pre-Thanksgiving, hopefully this weekend. Sit down with your husband and say, what are your dreams? What are your expectations for Thanksgiving and Christmas? What is our budget financially, time-wise, your time, your talent, your treasure? What brings you joy? What do you want us to be about? And to realize everything is a season. This is a season you're in of young mommy. It will morph and it will change. But decide what you want to be the theme of this Christmas for you. It might be getting with friends and family. It might be giving. It really might be giving. It might be just, you may have suffered a huge loss. You may have lost somebody precious and dear. You may have gone through a job loss. You may just still not be fully back from COVID. You need to give yourself the grace to be where you are, but that requires inventory, and that requires looking at your heart, looking at his heart, and going, what would bless you this season? And ultimately, how do we honor each other and honor the Lord? Because it really is his birthday. So one of the things that became clear as we trimmed the fat in our family is we wanted to make Christmas Jesus' birthday. Okay, we wanted it to be about giving, about experiences, about love, about family, not so much the getting. Every family can have its own theme. There's no right or wrong theme. And the theme can be changed annually, but if you scratch what was in the past and you look at, hey, what are we doing together? How are we leaving and cleaving and blending our mix, our Christmas mix? What do we want it to be? And so that's what we're going to hopefully talk about today as we launch into just setting expectations. John will tell you straight up, expectations are everything. And so expectations are also a recipe for disappointment, false expectations. So we have to expose those, and that comes through conversation. And I would encourage you to take that inventory and the one that you'll see in Unplug the Christmas Machine in their little seminar. You can download all their material, go through it with your community group. It's great. You know, in the holidays when you're just not quite sure what to talk about because your Bible studies are over and you're not quite sure, they have a little 5-part seminar that you can break down and just talk about as a small group that's a free download, and it's in your packet. It's so healthy. And not to compare, not to one-up each other, but to really hold each other accountable for coming up, as Mel is talking about, with an intentional theme.
And I love what Jeannie said, that when you're taking inventory, because it is a season and it looks different. And so one of the things that I did, if you've been around Watermark, there's all of these amazing resources. And even Jeannie led like a little group of us. And every time we went, she was just filled with like books and I had a binder. And so every time I went to the Nest, I would like take those packets and put it in the binder. And if I went to square one or even something from church, because what Jeannie really encouraged me was like, hey, you know, Brayden's 10 months. Okay. I don't know if we need to like do all of this. And I was like, yeah. But it's such great resources. I would tuck it away in the binder. And then I revisit it even, you know, every holiday, every Halloween, pumpkin gospel, every Thanksgiving. The Nest has an amazing packet that we're going to give y'all. And it's so great. It has I think they call it like a crock pot version and then a microwave version. And so it's like, hey, if your kids can wipe their own bottoms, do the crock pot, where it's like you really sit down and you're really digging into God's word. And then if they're little and you got about 5 minutes, there's a microwave version. And so I love that you're really taking inventory on, like, especially the sensitivity of, like, moving, financial stress, someone that's passed away. The holidays are always really, really hard. And so some years it's like, I'm not going to do anything. I'm literally just going to read my Bible for 20 minutes in the morning. So I love that.
It's really good. Yeah. And so as we move on to, what's our next slide, Sunny? Yeah, so we're going to the table talk. So what we want to lead you guys into is talking through your family of origin. Now, I don't want you to sit there, as Elizabeth was talking about, and rant and rave about your in-laws, okay? But I do want you to give a one or two sentence version of, hey, what do I bring to the table? What were my either hopes and dreams? What were his hopes and dreams? Have I even ever asked him? Or did I just assume that I got to write the script for Christmas? Because I did. And so, for what Mel was saying, I did try to do everything. As a young mom, I couldn't decide which Christmas Devo to do, so I did breakfast, lunch, and dinner. I just did a different one. And I just kind of, just because I love Jesus and feed their heart, feed their tummy. You've heard me say that before probably. And so I'm just like, yeah, we're just going to try a different one. I was complete overkill trying to redeem Christmas and put Jesus back in the middle of it. And less is more. And my husband was just like, no, just no, I'm not. He doesn't, and he didn't, so we don't. And I also, one of the big crashes of early marriage is I bought a gift for everybody. Everybody. The person I walked by on the way into work at the, you know, guard station. I mean, everybody in my family. And so my husband and I, our budget was way out of whack in terms of what my expectation was and what his was. And so I learned to give the gift of experience, and I learned to just be with people. My mother's love language was gift giving. It's not mine. Mine is affection and words of affirmation. Know your love language. Know your husband's love language. Speak that language to them and believe in your heart that it is not, you know, love one another as you would have, you know, yourself be loved. You're projecting. And so there was a lot of projection in my world, a lot of guilt and obligation. I realized that I was shopping for my mom. My sister and I were shopping for our whole family in a way that was unhealthy. And we basically, my mom and I really had, it wasn't so much as Elizabeth was talking about my in-law, my mom and I had a lot of come to Jesus because I was destroying her version of Christmas because I refused to participate and shop for her and make it work. We actually went to a gift exchange, which everybody thought was a complete bust, and it was the most awful Christmas ever because I had ruined Christmas. I was the Grinch for a long time. And so, but there was a remaking of that. And my family of origin was going through bankruptcy, so it really did help them simplify. I could have been, as Elizabeth was talking about, a lot kinder in that. And I could have been a lot, I'm not going to mandate change. Change doesn't happen quickly, and it's very harsh if it does. So think about one or two things that are really central to who you are and what you want, and think about making that happen. And so are you ready to head into table talk time?
Yep.
Is it time? Okay, I just didn't even know if we needed to move into the next segment, of which I do have notes. But we'll talk about that afterwards. So get around your table. You have time to talk. Be honest. Be real. And your table leaders will have lots of wisdom to share. All right, girls. We always at the Nest want, as we nurture and encourage and strengthen and train you, we always want it to be around God's Word. We don't want it to just be man's wisdom. And so as we start out this next section, there's one of our favorite passages that kind of all of life hinges on for me, and it's Ephesians 4, 22 through 24. And you will not hear me teach without that making its way in, because we want to realize where we have been deceived by our false expectations of God and ourselves and of how the world works. We're being deceived by just our desires that tell us where life is. We want to put those things off. We want to be transformed and renewed by the renewing of our minds through the Word and the Spirit and prayer and fellowship like you're having today around your tables. And we want to put on the new self, created to be like God in true righteousness and holiness. And one of my favorite lines from most recent Grinch Christmas movie is, if it matters to you, it matters to me. And so don't let yourself believe that just because it's Christmas and just because it's little gifts or stockings or things like that, it matters to the Lord if it matters to you. And those traditions can always point to Him. And so what we want to get you to step back during this section and do is go, why do I do this? If it's working, keep doing it. Our husbands are big on start, stop, keep. So what do we want to stop doing? Where have we been deceived and we just want to put that layer off, even if it's just for a season, it's not working now. It's not that it's a bad thing, but we want to put that off. What do you want to keep doing? What is really working? And where are you centered and you want to hold on to these things? And then maybe today you'll hear about some things or spark conversation around your tables about what you want to start doing. And always go back as you start off your conversation with your husband. Maybe frame it with Ephesians 4, 22 through 24 and talk about where you've been deceived, kind of confess, maybe talk about resentments and regrets, what have been our false notions of each other, especially now that we're moving into parenthood. How have we been transformed? How have our notions of the holiday been transformed? And then what do we want to put on? What do we want to try this year? What do we want our theme to be?
Can you put the next slide of the sixth grid? Jeannie's going to point a couple of these, but one of the things that Jeannie taught me as well, again, everything, I mean, it's just silly that I'm up here because I'm just like a Jeannie mini-me. So, but I love this. When she talked about gifts, I too was getting like every neighbor, every community group member, which is sweet and good, but I was just like totally overwhelmed. And so now when kids came in, I love the idea that she said you can get them something that they want, something that they need, and a wish. And you can even give that to my parents and my in-laws go a little crazy with gifts, and it's usually CRAP stuff. And so this is a great way to kind of like, hey, here's a great book, and they could really use some new undies, and you'll see it in your mother-in-law, or let's not go mother-in-law, okay? Let's not do that. Maybe your mom's like, undies? You want me to give my six-year-old granddaughter undies? And we're like, yeah, because that's what they need. So I love that point. And then I'm totally going to steal this because it's my favorite. But the 12 Lays of Christmas, this is totally Jeannie. But will you put the slide
Patty
up?
Patty Snow, Patty Bosch.
Okay,
come on, we
again,
give
giants.
Credit.
We're just giants standing on other giants' shoulders. But all of y'all have a, you should have gum, okay, at your table. And this is a little sassy for you to bring home and hand it to your husband, and it's the 12 Lays of Christmas, okay? Maybe you give it to him before the expectation talk. I don't know. I think it would go a little further. And then when they are ready, they can just pop that piece of gum, and you are available, okay? So, and speaking of spreading out the season, so I think there's 12 for the month of December. That seems a little lofty to me. So start at Advent, start at Thanksgiving, a little early sassy, okay?
Absolutely, and we were sitting in John Eagle Honda, one of the moms. She was the K-Life director, and then she got married, and we were talking all things marriage, and she's like, she's this beautiful Puerto Rican, and she's like, oh, do you know about the 12 Lays of Christmas? And I'm like, no, is it a Hawaiian thing? I mean, I have no idea. What are you talking about? I thought it was like a new tradition, like a new Jesse Tree thing. And she's like, no, no. And it's girls, because he's your Santa. He is the reason for your season right now in life.
Santa,
you know,
big Santa, Santa's
yeah, Santa,
okay,
baby.
Okay,
yeah, there's lots of music that goes with that. Put together a playlist. Put together a Christmas playlist that's just a fun mommy daddy playlist. I mean, hang some mistletoe in your house, but don't forget the reason you're a mom, people. That's right. I mean, he's the reason you're here. Jesus for sure, God creator, we got all that. But your husband's super important in the process, especially budget-wise.
Usually the husbands are the ones that get the brunt, you know, during the holidays. And I remember Jeannie told me I think I was a newlywed, just really, really early into marriage. She gave me this analogy of when your husband is driving on 635 or 75 going to work, and they see a billboard of this, you know, a lot happening up here. Just
hot wives.
Yep. That if you, you know, are intimate the night before, you know, hopefully, prayerfully, a God-fearing man glances at it and looks away. And then the next night, you know, it's busy and you guys aren't available. And, well, you checked it off the night before. Let's be real, okay? So you're like, no, thank you. But then they just glance at the billboard on the way to work. And then by the third day, their eyes just kind of, and then it goes to thoughts. And so Jeannie told me that. And still, y'all, I hope my husband doesn't listen to this because this is a secret, okay? With this 100 people, don't tell him. Now, in my phone still, I record the last time that we were intimate. It says do in my calendar, D-O. And then I can look back and be like, holy moly, okay, he's looking at that billboard. And so Jeannie has always encouraged me, feed their bellies and be available and in the bedroom. Not yes. emotionally. I mean, you can, but let's be real. That's what they want. Two things. And so.
Yeah, they don't even need three things on their list. They need two, good food and you. Yeah. And that's it. And so that was actually John McGee. It was some talk, and I think Mel actually brought it to the group. You start to blend your stories after a while. But it really sticks because they have an appetite every 48 hours or so. They get hungry, just like every three or four our tummies get hungry. And I just think you've got to keep it simple at this stage, girls. And it's not Bob's Chop House every time. It is perfectly fine. It's 10 minutes in and out. You're good. Okay? So just make it happen. Is the point. That is one of the best traditions that will last and will keep your marriage happy long term. For us, and you know, we kind of breezed through that last slide, but what stuck? You know, what's really stuck for us? What worked, what didn't, what we want to keep doing? Planning and setting expectations, we've talked about. Definitely before you go hit Black Friday. You know, we talk about forgiveness and not permission, but before you go get crazy with the credit card or get internet happy, and there is no shopping like mommy brain happy. Shopping, you forget what you've bought, and you forget where you put it in the house where it comes in. And so we would set up a little Christmas store in our guest room. And so as I had little pods of gifts that I would get each one, and one of our favorite things that stuck is my kids. I didn't want them shopping for each other because, you know, they were range of 7 years of age. It would have been hard, but I would let them go in there and on Christmas Eve or a couple of days before pick out the gift that they wanted to give their siblings of things I had bought and wrap it, and it would be from them, and that was a really fun thing. Definitely having a theme is a great thing about whether it's going to be service. We love to put out our nativities first because we want Jesus to be the reason. So with each Sunday and Advent, I know we're going to talk about like Advent candles and things like that, but decorate with Jesus in mind. You don't have to go kamikaze like I did with my mom's house. And then one thing we decided early that has really stuck, we have two December birthdays. So we go really large on two May birthdays, two December birthdays. Why did God do that? Because May is December without Jesus. And I'm like, okay, so we go large on their birthdays. And then Christmas is more about the experiences. And so we have woven around the whole, the whole Big Rocks First is probably where this is going to hit. We have several experiences that we love that are family traditions. And one of them, we love doing the turkey trot at Thanksgiving, no matter where we are. We love doing that. That's just a fun way to kick off. And then we love doing going down to Bethlehem Revisited. It's normally open the first two weekends, and you dress your kids up in their little nativity costumes that we'll talk about later and let them dress up. And Natalie Fournette got us started doing this, where you go down and you walk every 30 minutes the whole story of the nativity. And for preschoolers and up, it's just magic. They have free hot chocolate. It's a whole city block in Waxahachie. The Dallas Ballet Center's Nutcracker, which you can stream now. You don't even have to buy tickets and go. But for $25, you can stream it and watch it at home and dress them all up in their little dress-up and let them watch it. It is magic because it's all real people and real kids and real mommies and daddies we know in it. It's not professionals. It's their Dallas Ballet Center ballerinas and guys that come in and do that, little mice and all that stuff. It's really cool. And then we have our favorite tradition, the big rock for us, is when are we going to get our community group together and we have a Christmas brunch. It can't always be on Christmas Day, but for a lot of years it has been. And so I think Sunny has a picture of this. The food that you make, the traditions that you make. Last year, the Lord just out of the blue gave me the idea to take the cinnamon rolls and make them into a Christmas tree and put sprinkles on them. Make your food fun. Food builds memories. And so find out what your people like and kind of marry, like the hot chocolate and Waxahachie are a big thing. But for Christmas, the nativity, Marty Scudder, my mentor, who was just in town this last week, got us started doing this. And we started it when Sydney was born in 2000, 2001. Dress up, and there's a nativity script that you will have as part of your packet, and online they'll be posted, and an email that you'll get if it's not. It's just a simple script that has all the little first verses of the Christmas carols. And so Gabriel, whoever draws Gabriel, we have everybody in a sack. And you'll get these little nice little Ziploc sacks, and then you have your wise men. And this also translates into every Bible story that you'll tell in the Bible. We really encourage you to take the stories that you're learning here at Watermark or at your church and act them out during the week and let the kids tell the story and tell them with little people and puppets and things like that. And so one good set of nativity costumes. These are dollar costumes from Joann's and little things woven in from Oriental trading and scarves and stuff. One costume, set of nativity costumes, if you outfit everybody, will tell most every Bible story in the Bible. You have King Herod, you have Pharaoh, you can just do so many things with those, and it really helps bring it to life. So a Christmas brunch, invite people that don't have places to go, and then on Christmas morning, what that did for us, our Christmas Eve, depending on when it lands, is it made us take the focus off us and put it on people who maybe didn't have a place to go, and us creating family here, because none of us have family in town. And so we would always include whoever came of different people's family members in our community, but it really became a lasting tradition that we still do to this day. I know we have some pictures back there. Mel, I'm sure, has some more, but we love Christmas jammies. My mom, one thing that has lasted is she always gave me Christmas jammies. And I do want to hit next. I'm going to give her a term on in-laws and outlaws. But last year, we put our 16-year-old She was 17, turning 18, in charge of shopping because her love language is gifts like my mom. And she found these at Sam's, and she called me, and she said, "Can I get them?" I'm like, "Absolutely." And so she outfitted all of us in Christmas jammies, and they're so cozy and fun. And we wore them for the Christmas nativity brunch. We went long and wore them that day, and it was really fun. And this makes fun memories. And we're about cozy. So one, I'll transition to the in-laws and outlaws, and I'm going to hand it back to Mel. My mother-in-law, she taught me how to make a turkey. She taught me how to make Texas sheet cake. She taught me how to make chocolate chip cookies. She set the tone. She is just an impeccable host. But my first Christmas with her, she gave me this gown 25 years ago. And she says, "I just want you to stay in it all day. I want you to relax. I want you to sit back." And she had one as well, a matching one. And it has stood the test, because you want to be cozy at Christmas. You want to be soft and cuddly and create memories, especially at your stage. So find some Sam's jammies. Find something that you can be cozy and happy in all day long. And she set the tone by telling me, "Hey, I don't need you to perform for me today. I just need you to be here and be with me."
So two rocks that have really stuck with my family, and you can go back to the original slide of the wreath, is we do the Advent wreath, which is right here in the middle. And so there's four Sundays leading up to Christmas. And so our family, the Sunday after Thanksgiving, my kids love it. Look at how little they are. My laptop is broke, so this is the most recent photo that I could get. And we've added a fourth, but they're so little. I love it. So you light a candle on the first day of Advent, and then some of my friends sing songs. We're all tone deaf, so that would just not bless the angels in heaven. But it's really sweet. You turn off the lights, and then they blow it out. And then we do a very large, as in size, gift. So when they come home for Thanksgiving, they like load up to go see our in-laws. And then I get these giant gift bags, and inside of them is like PJs or gingerbread house. But they think it's so fun to like unwrap this like massive Amazon box. And so on the Sunday, we do a little devotional together. We turn off the lights. They light the candle. They love blowing it out. So that's one thing that stuck for us. And then the second thing is the Jesse tree. I'm sure a lot of y'all have heard of this, but this is what I use. It's by Lambert, and it's for children. There's like a children's Devo, and then there's an adult Devo. And every night as a family during Advent, which really the season of Advent just means preparing our hearts for the coming King. And so it is so important in the midst of soccer practice and wrestling and dance, we come together for the month of December, and we have a moment. It may be 5 minutes, it may be 20, but we reflect on God's word, and then we rotate our kids, and then they put up an ornament. And then on each day, and again, this seems so overwhelming, y'all, but it's really like little, and all I'm trying to do is create fun traditions for my kids to bring us back to Jesus. And so we open a little one of those boxes, and it may be decorate the Christmas tree. Okay, we're already going to decorate the Christmas tree. The second day, I think, is like hang stockings. So it's things that we're already doing, but it's a moment at night for us to come together, point our kids to God's word, and be reminded of why we're celebrating the month of December for Christmas. Let's see, what's the next slide? So we've done a happy birthday Jesus party before. Some people will do this as a neighborhood. It's a really great way to share the gospel and bring out neighbors. And Jeannie does a great job of this for like Halloween, pumpkin gospel with the neighborhood, for Thanksgiving, inviting friends over and really making a sense of outreach, which, to be honest, in my own heart, when this idea was introduced, I'm like, I am stressed and like, I'm just trying to worry about my people. And I was like, wow, that's really yucky. And so if there's not room for other people in the month of the Advent season, like, what are we doing, you know? And so I've had friends do it, and it's so easy, y'all. You go to Kroger, make this great little conversation with the bakery, and then people will bring, like, books for children's hospitals, or you can kind of do it 100 different ways. And then, like Jeannie said, reading, if y'all don't have this, this could be a need, the Jesus Storybook Bible. It is amazing, and I think there's actually a Jesse tree that goes with this, isn't there?
Yes, we have,
with ornaments.
We have a version
awesome.
Of it over there, yeah.
But reading Luke 2 and having them, this is like, we don't do it every year because it can be overwhelming just with all the cousins. We have lots of little people. But reenacting the nativity scene, my kids just love that. And so many people have those. I think we borrowed ours from Mary McGuire, you know, and so I didn't have time to like go to the store and get it all, but you can also just use like cloth and you
Absolutely.
Know it doesn't have to be crazy
yeah.
but for them to hear it. And then a lot of my family members, they don't know the Lord, and so they've heard the gospel, but their kids want to be in on the activities. So it's a very like, I mean, I do ask permission, but it's a very simple way to bring Jesus into a home that doesn't celebrate Christmas, you know, for the true reason. And their kids are reading Luke 2. And mm-hmm. so that's a fun tradition that we do. Let's see, what else we got? Oh, this is our favorite. So we do this every year. It's the same nursing home. We make these gross cookies. They're so ugly. I think we even have a photo of how gross they are. But these sweet old people, y'all, they just love little people. It just brings so much joy. And so we take our community group, we bake all of these cookies. They take out their dentures. I mean, they just like love us. It's so sweet. And so if you'll flip back to that slide, one thing that I did want to point, I think Pinterest is just, I don't like it. I don't like Instagram. I think it's a tool that is rarely used like it should. And so this is a picture of us trying to read J is for Jesus and make cute little candy canes that looks like, I don't even know what that looks like, and then reindeers. And guess what? They had fun and it tasted delicious. And so I have so many type A friends that like want the perfect photo to like post on Instagram. And I would just encourage you, like, I have a friend that just gets off for the whole month of Advent. And she's like, I'm not doing it. And I love that. And so I think we talk about that a lot, of just like trimming the fat with social media. And so being free of not having to have like the perfect image. We hear that a lot. And I would just beg you to think about that when you're posting stuff, you know, on social media.
Absolutely.
Any more? I think that may be all of mine.
That and what you have here, what Mel has here as well, is the little people. Another way that we reenact every story, all the 52 Bible biggies, all that stuff, is if you have the farm, you have the castle, you have the nativity, and then you have, there's one more, Noah's Ark. If you have those little people sets, which make great gifts, if you need to tell your family what to give you for Christmas, if you have those four sets, you have the little people to tell every Bible story in the Bible. And you reenact that, and you tell those stories over and over again. And then by the end of the week, they're telling those stories back to you. And so let them bring out and play with it, have a nativity set that they can play with, not just the beautiful one that your aunt gave you, but something they can actually manipulate and use, because you want to imprint this story on them. And the Jesse tree, the great thing about the 15,000 variations there are out, you can come up and look, and it'll be in your handout, these versions of it. There's Catherine Voss's version, there's the Jesus Storybook Bible version, and then there's the traditional version that Mel and I both use. And it just helps them do it. You can do do-it-yourself kits. They send them to you in a little box, or they can come already pre-done that you just start hanging on the tree. And those are awesome ways each day for just that 5 minutes, just a drip, 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 to bring it back in. And so one of the things that has helped me too, because you do want to celebrate, there is gift giving, there's that, is when John and I trimmed the fat down on our list, my community group and my best friends, I try to give them a gift. We go to Canton a lot, and I'll try to find them something to help them celebrate the season, and Jesus is the reason for the season. This year, I gave them pumpkins that have their name from Michael's carved in it because I'm a big pumpkin gospel person, so I gave it to him early, like before Halloween, but I'm done. And so the whole spread out the season thing, and I like themes. I like giving one-stop shopping gifts for people so it doesn't feel so personal. I think that is really, really helpful. I told you guys about the Christmas store. One of the simple pleasures in my kids' life is, especially early on with the Jesse tree, buy one of these. It doesn't have to have the nativity on it. Some of them have Christmas villages, Santa, whatever. Have the chocolate, because what you want to do is associate God's word with goodness and taste and see that the Lord is good. So let them pop the chocolate Advent candle when you do your Jesse tree thing. It's just a great association. Some people have little bits of honey. You don't have to do chocolate. But my kids, all their first thing when they start seeing those is, hey, get the Advent calendars, because there have been those years that people have run out before mom has bought theirs, which is really a bad place to be, because then you're doing it with Hershey Kisses, which is fine. But they love, still to this day, 21 down to 14, love those little pop-out things.
Your husband's going to love to pop it.
The kids are going to love to pop in chocolate. Everybody's popping. We're going to go into our book segment now, because I do think one of the ways to really center your family in a tradition across the year that is being lost is reading to your children out loud from a book, not something electronic. And so there's lots of books that we have listed in our bibliography about the meanings behind the traditions. And so I love my kind of present to myself every night is a cup of hot chocolate and turning off all the lights and sitting by the tree and reading myself a devotional or a story. There are thousands out there, but Joe Wheeler's Christmas stories are great read aloud stories. There's one that my husband loves, and so you really don't want to try to involve your husband. He reads Jotham's Journey or Bartholomew's Travels, Tabitha's, Bartholomew's Adventure, Tabitha's Travels, or Issachar's Journey, and it's all these children that are kind of elementary, early teenage, and they all converge on the nativity through all these stories, and this earnest Yultreed, I can't say his last name right, has woven all these tales to where all four different stories, and he even has Amon's adventure later on, who two of them get married and come back at Easter, that weave towards the nativity. And Deca of Megiddo is the most evil villain ever. And he's like, and so my kids to this day, when John says Deca of Megiddo, will go dun dun dun, because when he comes on the scene, that's what we do. But that really weaves it. And we make up. We don't read every night. We're not that faithful. Life is crazy. But we'll read segments at a time, and they still love together in the living room. We'll turn on the fire and let them be read to, even as older adults, young adults, and kids. They love that tradition. And so I would really encourage you to get those books. They're on Amazon, and you can get them. But make some time for reading each night.
Thank you. I'm giggling as I'm looking at the list. Jeannie, her children are brilliant. They're gorgeous. They're brilliant. They're athletic. They're just the whole package. And her books are like this rich literature. We love the picture books, okay? It's about 4 pages, if you'll see. But a lot of our favorites are things that they see every day during the Christmas holiday. So this is about the candy cane, and that red represents Jesus' blood, and then we're white because he died on the cross, and it's the shepherd's staff. And then I think it's honestly a lot of them is it's Bowman. And y'all can come up here and look. We're going to post all this on Instagram, Nest, as I knock on Instagram. Just check it and then get off. Don't look at anything else. But she has some books about the Christmas tree and even like the ornaments and the star and how that reflects Bible stories. So I think that's really sweet. And then we are running out of time, but the last thing that we wanted to talk about is dun 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 Santa Claus. I feel like every year the Nest gets lots of questions about Santa Claus. And so Jeannie and I are very different. She's a Grinch. No, I'm just kidding. We in our family, we love Santa Claus. We do Tooth Fairy. We do Elf on the Shelf. We do it all. But guess what? My friend and my mentor doesn't. And we both love Jesus, and you know, it works. And so two of the things that I was going to point out that I think are great is this book is called Saint Nicholas, and it's the real story of the Christmas legend. And so this is good just to point your little people back to, like, there really was a man who loved Jesus, and that's why we celebrate Saint Nick. There's also another book called Santa's Favorite Story that is helpful. And then, again, we'll post this on Instagram, but there is a blog post about how to talk about it with your kids. Honestly, I'm not very thoughtful about it. Maybe I should be. But we just do Santa. And if they say, are you Santa? I say, yes, I don't lie. But my 10-year-old doesn't ask because honestly, he doesn't want to know. He still loves pretending. So in this little blog post, it says that a way to talk to your kids about it without lying is they say, if your kids start asking you questions, that you say, well, there's a secret about Santa. And if they say, well, is Santa real? Well, yes, because you're speaking from you are Santa. Does Santa really go down the chimney? Well, I don't know. What do you think? And so some might say it's manipulating. Maybe I am manipulating my children. But I don't think it's going to hurt their walk with the Lord. I think I pray that they will continue to pursue holiness. And so we do Santa. What's your take on Santa?
Well, my kids will tell you one of my worst parenting mistakes ever. There's a lot. Is that we didn't do Santa. And they are for sure doing it with their kids. In one of the young moms meetings she's talking about, we did a panel with our kids on Santa or no Santa. And so we had a set of kids that had done Santa, a set of kids that hadn't. And at the end of the day, if you're doing this and you're making it about the season and you have those fun little happy sprinkled along the way, I wish, you know, you talk about in Romans where it talks about people who are really rigid and make rules are just weaker. And I think I was so weak in having watched it overdone growing up and that being all it was about. And yes, my people were believers. And yes, we did Christmas services. And yes, we did all that stuff. I mean, yes, absolutely. But it was all about Christmas from August on and the gifts. I threw out the baby with the bathwater. And so I think there was a winsome way that I could have found and done it that I think these gals found from watching me really overstress no Santa. To the fact that my husband, I never really even asked him. I just decided. And that was not submission. That was not taking him into consideration and considering his interest above my own. He really wanted to do Santa, looking back. And so I robbed him of that. And I'm not saying it's right. And I'm not saying you have to do Santa. I'm just saying there's freedom. And that's what we want to talk about. And one of the playoffs of what Mel is talking about, the kind of revealing, all these cozies that you see, the sweaters, the whatever, we have containers, and we kind of pull out each container, a container for each room, and we kind of dress each room like she's talking about, little bit at a time over the month, and it makes it, it breaks it down and makes it simple. And one container is all the Christmas ugly sweaters. And start collecting them now, because when your kids are teenagers, they're going to thank you that they have ugly Christmas socks and they have ugly Christmas sweaters that are really have a little vintage to them because you might have bought them when they were five. So if you see them in Walmart and you think they're super ugly or cute, go ahead and buy them. Your kids will use them later. And have one container where that can go back into. But the Santa thing is for real. And there's so much good literature out there about it you can use to talk about how he really was very wealthy. The real story of St. Nicholas is amazing. And that's where, like, Lisa Welchel's Christmas Traditions, she has a one-pager on all the Christmas traditions and takes you back to the heart of Christmas being Christ. And St. Nicholas is right in the middle of that.
Yeah. And just to clarify, we do not glorify St. Nick more than we talk about Jesus for the month of December.
No,
so,
no.
You know, I do think, yeah. And that was an expectation talk with my husband. Like, the first year I decorated, it was just like, Santa. And, you know, he was just like, whoa, this is tacky. And can we trim the fat, Melissa? I was like, maybe. Let's talk about it. Here's your 12 poppet lays of Christmas. Let's talk about
it. Yeah.
Okay, I think we're going to break into table time. And I just want y'all to hear, we gave you lots of fun little things. Leave here feeling lighter. And so I know that November and December, it's just crazy, y'all. And Dallas literally, it's like Halloween ends and there's traffic. I don't understand. And so I really do pray that you can leave here and that you can be unified with your spouse, that you can choose things that bring you joy and bring your husband joy and point your kids to the Lord. And it can be so, so simple. So choose your rock, your one or two rocks. Look at the season that you're in. Some season you say, I'm not going to do a rock. I'm literally just going to open my Bible for 20 minutes. And God would say, thank you. I love you. So we're going to break into table time, and you'll talk about your start, stop, keep moving forward.
Hello, hello. Hey, ladies, we sadly are almost out of time, so I'm going to give you all just a heads up. You have about 6 minutes until noon, and we just want to bless those childcare workers by picking up our kids on time. So you've got like 5 or so minutes to wrap up combos, grab an extra cup of coffee or stuff some snacks in your purse, grab a drink on the way out, don't forget your packets, and make your way downstairs to pick up kids. We're so grateful that all of y'all were here today. I love how excited y'all are about this topic and the energy that's just going into the holiday, that it can be intentional and fun and slow. So I'm just gonna pray for us and then y'all are dismissed. Heavenly Father, we thank you for everybody in this room, for the teachers that came up here and shared their wisdom with us today, and for the willing hearts that showed up to listen. We just pray that your gospel would be carried forward as we teach to this younger generation and raise up new followers of Christ, and then we just get to spend a whole Advent season focusing on you in creative and fun ways as we parent. We love you, Lord, and we pray that you bring us back safely next month. In your name we pray. Amen. Thanks, ladies.